This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3826, for Monday, the 3rd of April, 2023. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for March 2023. It is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 85 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in March 2023.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today, it's community news for March 2023. And joining me this evening is...
Rowan from Baltimore, Maryland in the US.
And Dave is having connectivity issues and may join us during the course of the show. I am calling from the Netherlands, I guess. Should I say Holland? The Netherlands is fine.
That works.
Okay. HPR Community News is the look at the behind the scenes of what's been going on in the project that is HPR, which is Hacker Public Radio, which is a shared podcast where we all come together and submit shows of a technical nature that might be interested in hackers, to hackers, usually of a technical nature. And they are released every weekday, Monday through Friday. And is there anything else we need to say about that, Rowan?
Nope, just that this podcast is a sort of a review of the previous month.
Yep, exactly. And we do need people to send in shows, because without shows, this project grinds to a halt. And we're also kind of enforcing the two-week rule for anybody, guideline, for anybody submitting a show, so that if you submit shows, leave 10 days before posting the next one. And that spreads out the load so that we all can contribute. And that's what it's all about. It's a Barcamp style podcast. And if you haven't submitted a show and you've been listening to podcasts, you've got more than three podcasts there on your player, then you should really, just get involved in the community by recording a quick show and uploading it. It doesn't have to be anything spectacular. It can be just, hi, my name is blah, and I've been listening to these podcasts, and this is who I am, and I listened to the show, and I thought I'd submit a show. And if you want to continue on telling us about your history into tech, feel free to do that. That's always a good show. And then we have more contributors. The more contributors we have, the more likely people are to send in one show a year, and that will be awesome. And this, as you pointed out, is the community news where we, as janitors, go around and comment on all the shows that's been posted in the last month, giving people who subscribe to this show an opportunity to go back and download those. And also gives you an idea of anything that we've been doing in the background to make improvements. So traditionally Dave does this, but I think, seeing as Dave isn't here, you should introduce the new host for the month.
And for this last month, there were no new hosts.
No, why? Why do they do this to me every month, Rowan? Why?
It's a sad, sad state of affairs.
It is. Seriously, people, make your life looking for new hosts. Anybody that you know is kind of technical, might be into podcasts, might be interested in recording a show. Either get an interview from them, or get them to submit a show themselves. Be that your goal. Post a show. We have a show for one day. Get a new host. We have loads of shows coming in all the time.
I fully concur.
Okay, without further ado, let's do the first show of last month, which was DNT Chatbot Hallucinations, which was 3803, released on Wednesday, the 1st of March. And there was one comment on that by Mickey O'Tronic. The Inverted Rabbit. The show itself was about a ChatGPT script was being asked to do an episode of HPR, and the shenanigans that released. Makeyotronic says, an inverted rabbit. This sounds to me like ChatGPT is plotting to serve humanity in the malevolent Antiothrov sense. And what a macabre username it chose. Did you listen to this one?
I did. It was fun. It definitely went down the rabbit hole of what happens when you choose wisely or unwisely with your what did they call it? I guess your inputs to ChatGPT.
Yeah, and I think ChatGPT is similar to there's been an awful lot about it, and I find it very similar to any other tool. You can use it for good or you can use it for evil. You can also drive it in a particular direction quite easily. So, but at the end of the day, whatever it produces, you're responsible for it. So that's kind of the way it is. So great if it produces something that you're comfortable with. Not so great if you're legally on the line for what it did produce because you posted it with your name. So the following day, we had the second New Year's show, and I'm really enjoying these, and I'm enjoying all the links that are associated with them tracked down. Some guy on the internet in HP Lovecraft did a fantastic job with these episodes.
Brilliant. Yeah, the show notes are amazing. I have to admit, I have to be in the right mood to listen to the New Year's show because they're so long. So I haven't really, I sort of skipped here and there through them. I hadn't listened to them fully, but I do. The links are amazing. I love just going and browsing and going, oh, wait, I forgot about that. Or, oh, wow, this is, I really want to check up on that.
And I've gone into work and I have quite a long commute, so I listen to them on that. But sometimes, you stop in the middle and then my player resets and I don't know where I am, but the show notes really help because you can just skip through to they were there, so that's about three quarters of the way in. So it really, really helps. It's there was an awful lot of the guys from the Linux Lugcast on as well, so that sometimes I think it was just a Linux Lugcast the year show, but it was very good. I enjoyed it. So the next day we had document file formats from Wikipedia, Archer72 giving us document file formats from Wikipedia, what it says on the tin, and no comments on this, but it was actually, again, a good reminder of the various different types that are available out there. So,
yeah, cool. No, I'm enjoying his going over these different formats in the various episodes like this.
So the day after that was, of course, the community news, and there was a comment. Yes, we were controversial. Let's see what the comment was. Archer72, karaoke. Oh, do you want to do this one?
Sure. Karaoke. I do keep the project that I work on, including the karaoke machine. What I don't do is use it for the intended function, so it is used for the tape and 8-track portion of the device. At least one of the microphone inputs work, as that is how I recorded to the cassette tape. I don't know. I kind of think I want an episode of it being used in its intended purpose.
Yeah, exactly. This was related to certain comments that were made on the new show about that.
Yes.
So the next day we had Brian in Ohio with Peepaw Builds a Computer. So Peepaw is Granddad Brian, I guess. And Mechiotronic says, good to see someone else doing Arduino stuff. However, your code is not sketch code and will not compile on an Arduino IDE. You mentioned Forth. What software are you using to compile?
Then comment two is from Mechiotronic again. He looks like he posts just the link to the SourceForge Flash Forth notes, unless that was, yeah. And then
Brian and I said, yep.
Yep, Brandon and Brian High replies. Forth shows you could listen to HBR 3477 and HBR 3537. They explain running Forth on Arduino boards. I'm using Flash Forth as an explanation on this. Excellent implementation of this Forth can be found at flashforth.com. This is not a sketch. It is a Forth that runs on the board and allows interactive control of the microcontroller.
Oh, hardcore. Yes.
Yes. You're working right there on the metal.
Yes. The ones and zeros. Yes.
Hello. Anybody
David,
there?
David, you're here at last. We're saved.
I had to reboot this thing, throw holy water on it or something to get it to work. But yes, I am here.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
We're at episode 3806, Funkwhale, a social media platform to enjoy and share music. Ken interviews Kieran Ainsworth about Funkwhale and lets you listen and share music and audio. So, Dave, as you're late, you can read out the first comment.
I was going to make my own comment first. That was actually really good. I hadn't realised that Kieran was on the New Year show. He was on quite a long time, so he's quite an interesting guy to listen to. And this show was really good. I enjoyed this very much. And now I will read a comment. First, I will find a comment. And then I will
while you were talking about that, I didn't know either until I heard the show this month. And then it became obvious. Oh, that's who he is. And after the show, we had about an hour of a conversation where we were just shooting the breeze, and I should have recorded all of that.
But, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, he's got tons of interesting things to say. He's done a lot of good stuff and knows a lot. So, yeah, fascinating guy. So, first comment, DNT on Funkwhale says, great interview, thanks for this. I followed the tip about downloading the Funkwhale app for Android and doing anonymous authentication on Open Audio. Pretty nice. Using the radios, you can get some nice tunes. I've tried to install Funkwhale a long time ago, but failed. In the end, I just set up MPD and listened through the HTTP output. This show definitely renews my interest. I also enjoyed your brief discussion about copyright, which you said you should continue over a pint sensibly. Yes, I would have a comment on that, but it would be too long for this, so it may come in another form.
Actually, if there's somebody who wants to join with me about thoughts on copyright, doing a show or doing a series, record your thoughts on copyright and send it in. That would be awesome. So Windigo says, piqued interest. Thanks for the great interview. I've never heard of this software before, but it sounds very appealing. Looking forward to investigating further.
Cool. Me too, actually. I'd quite like to check this out when I get a moment.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it too. I definitely have some CDs and stuff floating around here that I've ripped at various times, but it's, I think, maybe time to redo it again and have a nice... server to get to them from.
I have quite a collection of the best of cchits.net that would be just perfect for having out on the interwebs just as a radio station.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be super. Yeah, I'd really like to do this. I've gone through a whole bunch of music players, under KDE. I think it's, was it called Strawberry or something now, the latest one I'm using? I can't remember. But, this sounds like a better solution to that type of thing.
So the following day, we had the Abominable Post-Apocalyptic Podcast Player. Build a $3 MP3 player in 1 hour and be sure to be stopped by the TSA as you travel to airport control. Okay, the last bit wasn't on there, but really, this is... this is exactly why I like having Mechatronic on the network for this sort of stuff.
Yes, this is amazing. I've often thought of doing this. In fact, I was just listening to a thing on the Rockbox list where people are saying, can we not run Rockbox on an ESP32? And they're saying, no. But you could run it on a Pi Zero, but I think Mechatronic's done better than that.
So what he has done is cobbled together, and I feel cobbled together will be the correct word, various different components and duct tape them literally together to make an MP3 player from an Arduino and various different bits and pieces. So very good. Whose turn is it to do the comment? First comment will be...
I think it's mine.
Yep.
So the first comment is by some guy on the internet. The normies wouldn't like it. Do you leave home with this device? If so, are you arrested for having that device? I imagine myself being arrested if I walked around with something like this. Thank you for providing this show.
Yes.
Great comment. I'll do Mechatroniacs.
Please.
Next, captions, he says. Picture one shows the slit in the lid where the SD card resides. SD card and slot are protected from being bumped by the strategically placed glued lid. Picture two shows charging. Yes. Micro SB cord is coming in from the bottom. LED on charging board illuminates brightly. Picture three shows both boards glued to bottom lid with the top lid off. Great. Good stuff. Wish he'd sent that in with the show.
Yeah, because exactly.
It was a little bit sparse without those explanations. Maybe we should add them into the show. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Add that to the list there, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Norris says, premium HPR content. This is a very cool project. More like this, please. Couldn't agree more.
And Mechatronic in reply, some guy on the internet, check your local regulations, smiley face.
This reminds me of traveling to the US with a server was in the hold, and then all the hard disks, you know, the slot-in hard disks were in a box that I carried on board, and I had to explain what they were. And luckily I had a picture of some hardware magazine, and I was able to point, look, they're this, and then I got on. But since then, they're not so laissez-faire with letting people on the planes. Anyway, Clifton, which apparently is in Arizona and not over in Galway, Ireland. This is Ahuka took the RV over to there, and loads of pictures about various different mines and stuff. And Zen Floater, I think it's my turn, said, upstate, the famous Silver Bell Mines, and where few squirrels go as there are no trees other than cactus.
Yep, can follow that.
I was talking to Ahuka about that with the Mastodon. I feel like we're missing comments on Mastodon, but yes, are we allowed to take comments from Mastodon or not? That would be a thing, because they do get annoyed if you archive comments and stuff or interactions with people.
Oh, the Mastodon project itself?
No, on the HPR social medias where HPR posts over to Twitter, but we also post to Mastodon or the Fediverse with a comment every time that every day there's a show posted. We post a show.
Right.
And then I tend to reply to that, copying in the summary from it, from the show, and then underneath put in the hashtag today on Hacker Public Radio, HPR loves Creative Commons. And then sometimes people, and I tried to tag the members of the community who were in the show, which brings up two topics, actually, three, in that. And then quite often people will respond going, you know, it was, and in that one I said I didn't know Clifton was in Arizona and not in Galway, and Ahuka and I were in a discussion about it. So, is it okay to put those posts into this show? That is a question number one. And question number two, how will we do that? And question number three would be, should we also be gathering Mastodon or Fediverse addresses from our hosts so that we can include them in those, CC them and their projects in those social media posts?
That did sort of bring up something I thought about. I mean, I know generally, and maybe we can should be in a different section of this, but quickly was just maybe if people post in their profile their various things they are happy to have publicly known, then that's sort of the key to, you know, what we're allowed then to quote from.
Excellent. So, for example, if we put in a new field on the host page, and when they upload a show and they fill in their Mastodon ID, we can have underneath there any comments from this account to HBR or to the project will be included in the show notes.
Yeah, I think that would be
okay,
fair.
Cool. Yeah, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a fair number of people have done that, I think, haven't they? Yeah. I've certainly noticed Twitter and LinkedIn and stuff in people's profiles. So, yeah, sounds reasonable to me.
And there was one more thing I wanted to say about that social media stuff. Yes, that we would like you, when you're putting in the summary in, to make it a third person past tense, if that's a thing. For that very reason, it makes it easier. I have recorded a show about acne products, blah, is then I need to go in and change it to Ken has recorded a show about acne products. It just makes life easier if you do it in the third person.
Would this just be in the description or in the show notes itself?
Summary. So on the show that we're looking at next is Make FIFO and Names Pipes is the title. And the summary is, have you ever named a pipe? If not, this is the episode you've been waiting for. And you can imagine underneath that, today on Hacker Public Radio, blah.
I see.
So I replied to what goes out on... Oh, let me bring it up here from Friday. So TweetDeck HPR, which is also Mastodon HPR Ask Bots in Space, posts every day based on a script. And they post on Friday, new post, Hacker Public Radio 3825, creating a natural aquarium, and then via Hacker Public Radio, hashtag HPR, and a link to the show, March 31st, blah, 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 blah. And then there's a link to that. So what they posted is basically the title, creating a natural aquarium. But I replied to that using my own personal account. And I say, at HBR, setting up your first... and then I used the summary field as my comment. So setting up your first natural self-sustained fresh aquarium today on Hacker Public Radio community podcast, hashtags all over the shop. HBR loves Creative Commons, also two hashtags. So that makes those tags come up, and it makes and it gives an opportunity. So then if Minix had an account, I could then go CC Minix on that, and then they could respond. Just as by the way. Okay, we're way off track here. Sorry.
Cool.
So the next day there was two comments on that show. One was by Dave Morris, who will do it in the voice of Dave Morris.
I think you've rushed ahead there, have you not?
Ken? Have I not?
We're still on Make FIFO, are we not?
Oh yeah, we are. Which is Clatou's show about... Oh yeah, because I went, sorry. Have you ever named a pipe? And this is about named pipes. I'm basically asking the question, would you use them? And why would you use them?
Yeah, good show, actually.
Yeah, I liked it.
I've seen them. I mean, it's something you bump into occasionally if you've used Unix long enough, but never really seen why I would want to use them. That's pretty much Clatou's conclusion as well. I thought, you know, it's not as if you can use it like a queue and throw stuff in it and say, you know, you guys over there can come and read this whenever you feel like it. You've got to have prepared all the connections before you can really use it. So it's a way of broadcasting a thing to a bunch of people, I guess, if you have multiple processes reading it, which you can do. I don't know, my use of Linux is not as advanced as that, so I don't know.
Yeah, I love Clatou's like fine, like, because it's something like, you know, the MK Make FIFO I'd seen before, never really understood it. Of course, you know, now I do. The funny thing is, it's like one of those things where, you know, you see something or you like get a new car or you get a new something, and now all of a sudden you see them everywhere. Like just the other day, I was looking to do something on work, And the example said, you can do this with a temporary file, or you can use named pipes. It had an example. And like, I don't remember seeing anything like that in like the last year or two. And now all of a sudden it like showed up. I could see this like in a script. If you like were making a temp file that you were, you know, creating and erasing and creating and erasing from like a loop of things. So maybe you just use the name pipe where you know that it's only going to be used, you know, when it's going to be used. There's not going to be something else coming in and all of a sudden using it at the, you know, in parallel to you or something.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe we should do shows about how you would use name pipes or putting comments on the show. This is an interesting one, actually. I mean, security-wise, it might be a thing where you could, you know, log in on one terminal and have another terminal, just a dumb terminal, pumping up this information. But, yeah, okay.
Mm. Yeah, so there should be a competition for who can come up with a good use for it.
Not good sure use for it, but also an absolutely, completely, totally impractical use would also be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the following day, if I may, we had the next thing. People's computer does nothing, and he's building a Z80 no-op tester, which is pretty cool as well.
This yeah, is I'm really very, enjoying these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The concept of using an Arduino as the thing that controls the Z80 is something I would not thought of. I guess if you're into the fourth, then that just sort of comes naturally. Or you could write it in assembler or something like that, I guess. But fourth must be easier to use. But yeah, it's really clever. Took me a while to get my head around it, I have to admit. Yeah, really, really good stuff.
So there are no comments to this one as yet. And the following day, we welcomed a new podcast to the Freak Culture Podcast family, and that is Postmarket OS Podcast, which I've subscribed to. And we added a sample show from, oddly enough, FOSDEM.
It was interesting. I definitely went and visited their site after listening to the show. Well, the Postmarket OS.
I'd heard the name, or come across the name, and thought, What is this? I don't know. It's sort of moved on, but I mean this clarified a lot. I felt, but I think the site probably needs explanation for numpties like me. So why you would want it, what it is, but yeah, I got the gist of running it on a Pine phone was one of the things being discussed, wasn't it? So. Sounded like it was quite a useful thing to be able to do, yeah.
I think their website, and this isn't just their website, could do with, you know, right there, what is your thing? It's basically they're trying to come up with an operating system for mobile phones that will continue to work after the companies who've released them have ditched them. And even they're doing any type of phone at all. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I gather that supporting them forever.
Mm-hmm. I gather that was the thinking behind the name, which is quite clever, and it is an amazing requirement that so many people would make use of. I think I hear more and more people saying, "Well, these damn phones, you know, they when they reach a certain age, then they're junk, but only because somebody says they're junk, not because they really are." You
absolutely.
Know? Yeah, and a solution, a fight back against that sort of capitalist nonsense is really needed. So, yeah.
Oh, careful. Stand back with your far left opinions, you commie.
The fact that we're all capitalist slaves is gradually dawning on people, I think. So I won't be. I'll be saying
the views of Mr. Morris are entirely his and not related to Hacker Public Radio.
And many more, actually, and many more. But anyway, yes, I was a staunch union member, so I'm definitely on that side of things. So, anyway, yeah, good show, very interesting,
very good. And where were we?
I think we're on to the the New Year's show episode number 3?
That will be a good thing. Oh, there are 4 comments on this one. Whose turn is it, mine?
I don't seem to have done one for a while. Shall I start this one off?
Yeah, fire ahead.
Okay, Stash AF says, I need to speak up. Apparently I need to speak up more because I got really cut off by the silence truncation. I also wanted to make sure the link to the ham clock software got put in. And he gives a link to that particular thing. So, yeah.
And for comment number 2, some guy on the internet, I vote for push to talk. For future long format shows, I've included this simple how-to video for Mumble users. It covers toggle self-mute and push-to-talk key bindings. We should really have some kind of reminder during these events to help with the frantic keyboard noise issues. And then he has a link to a YouTube video.
And I've just sent that to myself, added it to my to-do list to put that up. I asked what license that was under, and he replied with it's a CC by SA 4.0. And he's also included a shorter video in the description, and both are available. So I'm going to add that to our website once I get time.
I forgot to look at that. That sounds really, really useful because there was a lot of background noise in that particular episode. So that was what that was all about, wasn't it? So yeah, cool.
Cool. Next one was the UniFac Uniscope, the first terminal for with a video monitor. This was by Delta Ray. Excellent show. Loved it very much. And great links as well.
Yes, I did. Shall I do the comment?
Please.
Comment from Mirwi. Second delete key that points to the carriage return. Hello. Love the show. It's sometimes nice to remember where we came from to better appreciate what we have now. Just one thought. Could the second delete key have been the carriage return key? Line feed and returning to the first character of a line are separate signals after all, or at least they were back then. Regards, Mirwi.
Is it me next? Yeah. Delta Ray says, documentation on keyboard layout. I found this module in PDF as a description of several of the keys on UniVac terminals of the time, and it gives a rather long link to it. So, yeah, these manuals are great, by the way. They look like they've really been around the block a few times and been used to steady desks or something like that along the way. It got me thinking, actually, this, because UniVac became Unisys, and along the way, Burroughs Computers was absorbed. So there's a company called Unisys now, which is the merger of many companies, including UniVac and Burroughs. And when I first moved to Edinburgh in 1981, I was in charge of a Burroughs B6930 machine, and it had some very, very bizarre, to me anyway, equipment involved with it. I should maybe dig up some of the stuff I have still, or some references to it, and do something equivalent to this, because it's a very, very different way of seeing the world of IT. So yeah, good, very good show. I enjoyed it.
So the next day, we had Post-Apocalyptic 4S5 battery pack, and if you weren't stopped at the airport with the previous MP3 file, you are definitely going to get stopped for this one. Tough battery design, worthy of a post-apocalyptic robotic database. And he gives a wiring diagram and very dodgy layout of old crappy batteries. I can't imagine, but they are heavily damaged by soldering them so much. That's why I think they recommend spot welding. However, this is the post-apocalyptic world, and you need to do what you need to do.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I love this video. I kind of want to try it, but I love the part where he says, make sure you have a, was it tongs and an open window nearby?
Don't try this.
Building it outside in the snow.
It's probably the safest way forward. Yeah, I'd like to hear some of the hardware hackers, electronic guys, electronic engineers' comments on this one. Particularly have a look at the photos and tell me what you think. So the next day we had Oh No News by some guy on the internet, which is a new series on privacy and security, I guess, in the news and other things that he comes across. This one was recent data breaches, TrustFinder, T-Mobile, the SEC, Terraform issues, and Ubuntu flavors. Packaging defaults was covered in this show.
Yeah, I really like this series, and I think, is it, do we need to tweak something in the database to add this series? Am I not on the right page to see the series information show up?
Series are something that kind of happen. Either somebody requests it. It's usually more than three episodes make a series, so quite often we will go back and retrofit series once they become a series, because okay. I have an inbox full of people telling me what series they're going to be doing, and then I don't know what an audio version of Tumbleweed going across the screen is, but insert that image there in your head.
Gotcha. Radio silence. I just thought it felt like we had reached Oh No News 3 episodes, but maybe I'm just misremembering, because some guy on the internet is very productive these days in his various shows, so I could just be counting the wrong shows.
You're probably absolutely correct. We probably have reached 3 episodes already, but we haven't met the series yet.
Gotcha.
It tends to be that we suddenly realize, oh, we need to do a series, or somebody says, could I have a series, please, for the show, the 5 shows I've already done, and then we do it. Yeah, so we're not exactly on the ball with it, but we get there.
And the question is this one privacy and security?
Yep, good point.
Good question.
Anywho, we'll have a think about it. Anyway. This is Brian in Ohio with the no-op test redux, because there was an issue and he fixed it. And I followed along during the show, and now I'm not following along looking at the code. I've never actually done any forth programming at all.
I tinkered a tiny amount on my BBC Micro back in the day. There was a forth ROM that you could get for it. But you need to use a lot, I think, to really get.
Yeah, forth is one of those that I've known about for a long time, and like every time it comes up, I'm like, oh, that's really neat, and I'll go read up on it again and look at some examples. But I've never, you know, like Dave said, it's just like I've never found a project where I've like, let me just, where it made a lot of sense or was worth the up, you know, ramping up time to do it. So I've never actually worked with it. But I'm loving the way he's describing it, and it's definitely becoming more appealing to want to find something to do.
Mm-hmm. I had, I still have somewhere in the attic, a synthesizer, which was driven by a BBC Micro 6502 machine, which you plugged into the tube port on it, so-called, it was driven by a programming language which they called Ample, which was derived from Forth. So it was all reverse Polish stuff and things. And it was also asynchronous, so you could have multiple voices. I think it had 16 voices or something. I can't remember. It wasn't massively expensive. I got it secondhand. But you could make some quite impressive sounds with it. But it's probably rotted away in my attic by now. But if I find it, I shall try and resurrect it. But so Ample was a strange language, but it was quite an effective, and of course it's incredibly efficient. So you know, just a 6502 could manage to run the multiple threads that it needed to produce different sounds out of this device. So yeah, that was the closest I've really been to Forth in reality.
Okay, Cool. Sorry, just got distracted there, Dave. I have a question for you after this.
Okay.
It's actually about, I have a variable that contains a directory name, which might be full relative, but how do I convert a directory into the full, not relative path? What's the one where it's the full path? Slash blah, slash, slash home, slash again, slash blah, slash blah. What's that called again? We three had this discussion. Absolute path. Yeah. Absolute, how do you path. Convert a path which might be relative to an absolute path?
You've got to know what it's relative to. And if you know what it's relative to, that's the bit you're missing. Yeah? Is that not it?
Yeah, but it might be an absolute path and not a relative path.
Ah, okay. So recognizing whether it's absolute or relative.
Yeah, so I've got a variable that could be dot slash path slash to slash file, or it could be slash home slash user slash path mm-hmm. slash to slash file. Anyway, that's something I'll think about when I'm not recording a podcast.
That's something I'll answer when we're not recording a podcast, if I can anyway.
Exactly. Following day, John Culp from Lafayette, Louisiana, back with another show, glad to hear it, remapping mouse buttons with X bind keys on Linux. This one I'm adding to my list of useful stuff.
Yeah, same here. I've got a mouse with buttons along the side of it. It's a gaming mouse, and these buttons do something weird, like go backwards in a browser history, which is pretty useless because I just hit them by accident usually. But it would be great to reprogram it. It looks like I can. So yeah, definitely going to be following this one up when I get a moment.
The one thing I did wonder with these days, with more people distributions going to Wayland. I mean, I guess if you're using X Wayland, this would still work. But like, maybe there's something different that needs to be done if you're on the Wayland server compositor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. My brain is steeped in X since about since the Ultrix and HPUX days, which is a long time ago, 80s maybe. So yeah, I can't really think in anything other than X thingies. So learning Wayland, I imagine, would be a bit of an uphill struggle for my old brain. But it's definitely, I mean, Wayland's going to be much better to use, I think. So X is massive and huge and full of bugs and stuff. But getting there to be able to use all the features that you may be used to in X Windows is going to be a bit of a strange thing for people who've been using it a long time.
I don't think a lot of that stuff is even going to be ever supported. But apparently what you can do is start up a smaller X server and then use those tools. So, hard to know.
It was quite common for people at the university I worked at to run an X server against a physical server. You know, there was a big mm-hmm. multi-user machine, and they would run X sessions on a PC from it. Although we discouraged it because our network wasn't fast enough to handle too much of that. But, it's a fairly common thing for people to want to do. Oh, and it's not in Wayland, is it? You can't do that in Wayland.
No, exactly. But a show on Wayland and the differences between Wayland, the benefits of it, and what we're going to lose based on X would be ideal mm-hmm. sort of controversy shows that we would love to have here in HBR.
Absolutely, yes.
Also, good to see John back.
Absolutely, yes. I was about to say the same thing. It was good to hear him again. He's off riding motorbikes, he said. He's learning to ride a motorbike. Good for him.
Some soundscape shows might be called for there. Following day, we had Ahuka, Introduction to Gaming, which is computer strategy games, part of that series. Did we not just go and create another gaming?
No, that is the very thing we created.
Did we today? So yeah. It's good that I was paying attention, isn't it?
you weren't there at the time in body, in spirit or something. But yeah, that's what I did.
Fantastic. Also, if you put real path in front of that command, it'll convert it to the full path. That's a tool I use all the time, real path.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen it. Never used it, but yeah. Cool.
That fixed my issue. And this was, actually quite interesting because I'd never never really been into games like Civilization, but it was good to, follow somebody else's appreciation of a game and why they were into it and the various different versions and stuff. So I did enjoy the show.
Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
No problem. I didn't enjoy it. I played it a little bit, I think, when it came back. I do remember because I think it was the Civilization. The company is actually located a little north of me. I'm pretty sure it was this whichever the company is. I can't remember. MicroProse, is it? Well, it's now MicroProse. But I think it was like they were between Civilization and Civilization 2, or maybe it was 2 and 3. And I was at university here, and I knew a professor who was teaching human-computer interactions at the time, and he got a tour for a bunch of us to go up there and saw their studios. At this point, they had definitely had a little more money, I think, because they actually had like a full-on audio studio for the voiceover. I think this is at the time when they were adding, it was like CD-ROMs and adding the cutscenes and maybe and stuff like that. So, yeah. And then we got to see where they did stuff. So it was pretty neat.
Cool. So we're getting close to the end of the month here. Another Onion news. This time, malware and security breaches, GoDaddy issues. Chick-fil-A customers, never heard of that company.
It's actually called Chick-fil-A, but it's Chick-fil-A. But so I was loving the fact that you almost pronounced it exactly how I do it in jest.
Well, if there's anything, I'm guaranteed to bring bad pronunciation here.
does it sell fillets of some sort? Boneless chickens or something like that? That's the most bizarre name that I've ever seen in my life.
They're big on chicken sandwiches. So yeah, chicken breast sandwiches and then chicken nuggets. It's pretty popular here, at least on the East Coast. I don't have to go into it, but yeah, so it is. There will be a number of us listeners who recognize the brand.
I'm sure. Yeah. I've heard the name, but the actual spelling of it really, really grinds my gears somewhat. It's really foul, utterly foul. And that wasn't meant to be a pun, but. I don't think I shall, if it ever arrives on these shores, I don't think I'll be running to sample it. We found ourselves the nearest place to eat when we were in the outskirts of Los Angeles was an IHOP, and that was the most disgusting place I've ever been to.
Oh.
House of Pancakes, absolutely disgusting. Ah, yuck. Really unpleasant.
I have to say, Chick-fil-A or Chick-fil-A has some of the best lemonade that you can find if you're out and about. That is the one thing that always draws me back.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's good. It's good. It's. I think we. Well, my family try and avoid all the chain restaurants and that sort of thing as much as we possibly can, so we may be a bit snobbish as far as that's concerned, but anyway.
So the following day, which is getting close, Bookworm.
Hang on.
What?
Did we miss a comment on?
We did by Trey.
Show? Yes. Shall I read it, having brought Please? It to our attention? Trey says, Mastodon? These new shorts are great. Keep them up. You mentioned you're on Mastodon. What username should we use to connect with you there?
And he replied with his handle.
Yep.
Tale of wonder, angst, and woe. Dissecting a COVID watch issued by the Hong Kong Department of Health. This was interesting. This was, just in general interesting how different countries tractors and stuff. Is it my turn to do a comment or not? Did I just do a comment?
I can take it. I can take this one.
Yep.
So a comment from Windigo, wrist device. I've worked with some GPS tracking hardware, and they're usually much bulkier and require much larger batteries than a 2050 cell. If I had to guess, I would say your wrist device had one purpose, to make sure your wrist was inside it. Your phone app probably took care of any and all tracking required. That wrist device simply detected when you cut through that copper band breaking the circuit and alerted your phone via Bluetooth. Your phone has all the requisite tracking hardware, but it's not physically connected to you. Leave it behind and you'd be out of quarantine. But not if they had a device attached to your body, which could detect if its band had been disconnected.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Was there some sort of tag on there that checked to see if it was on your body?
It was fixed, and the only way to get it off was to cut it off, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's one like of those, like, yeah,
hospital wrist thingy.
Exactly, yeah. The baby things that they have for keeping track of you. Yeah, mm-hmm. So that kind of makes sense. So that thing communicates with your phone app, and then, yeah, all the heavy lifting is done on the phone. And this is why you do shows. Answer questions by experts in the field.
Yeah, it's good. Great comment.
Git pages for website hosting. Three examples using GitLab's CI/CD, continuous integration, continuous deployment, to generate a website. How it works. These were cool. Totally motivated by the move to the static site, basically. Freaking awesome. I love it when other people do my work for me.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great job. And it's actually, I think, partly inspired, and it will be in the later section, some updates to the static site related to this and some of the things when you're setting it up.
Yeah, so,
I was just going to say it looks like a really good feature. And I'm going to install Gitty on my Raspberry Pi soon because I like to have a local repository here. And I discovered that it also has CI/CD capabilities. I don't know much about what it offers, but I would quite like to learn how to use that on Gitty. So this was a good heads up.
So the last one for the month, I think, Dave, is, if that's correct, when was it? Thursday? No.
Two more.
Mm-hmm. New Year's show, episode 4, was the last one that I listened to. What was this one? It was excellent. It was loads of people talking, loads of people having a good time, loads of people on exactly what we like to hear on the community news or on the New Year's show. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, content was great. I thought, yeah, a little bit of sort of noises off and talking over one another, but that's so hard not to do when there's delays and whatever. So, yeah, I thought it was a great episode.
Time lag, people don't always do it on purpose. It's, you know, you get the...
No.
Just be, lag.
Sure.
Well, where you were talking about that we don't have the names of the people who were on the show, and mm-hmm. I do miss that, actually.
Yeah. It suddenly occurred to me that it was Sporev or Kieran who we spoke about earlier on who was talking, saying some interesting stuff on that show, and I could not place his voice. Don't think I've ever met him. Though he would go to Fosdem, I believe, but we probably never bumped into him. But so it would have been really nice to know at least who was there, because I recognize some of the other voices from other contexts. So it would be nice to have a list of who was in each section. We used to do that before, but that was because everybody used the Etherpad, I think, wasn't it? People sort of logged into there and then made comments at various points, so you knew that they were around at that time.
I also exported the Mumble chat, which I didn't do this year.
Yeah. It was just a thing I thought would be nice. I don't know if everybody else feels the same, but it's useful just to know who you're hearing talking on these things, I find.
Yeah, absolutely. I missed that because I can't even think of his name now. He's on every year. He's from the UK and he's into Manjaro and has promised me shows and never done them.
That's Seb.
Seb, yes.
Yes.
And I couldn't, he asked me, he came to the booth at Foston just as we were packing up to leave, and he was challenging me to remember his name. I can barely remember who I'm married to, let alone who was on the New Year's show. Good guy.
Yeah. I've sat and chatted with him a few times at old camps and that type of thing. So, yeah. In fact, he was sat beside me when I won that blooming laptop at one of the old camps. So, yeah, he'd never let me get away with that one. It should have been me. I should have had that laptop.
Very good. Very good. So, one more show then.
Indeed. So, this is...
And that is... Yeah, go ahead.
Creating a natural aquarium. And I was... I'm chattering because I was the first comment on here because I just felt it needed a comment from somebody. And I said, great and fascinating show. Hi, Minix. I found your show very interesting and great to listen to. I have a degree in zoology, so I'm acquainted with some of the stuff you're talking about, but I've never kept fish myself, so a lot was new to me. I'm not sure I have the resources to start now, but the idea of building a complete ecosystem is very attractive. I hope you'll do more shows on this subject. Thanks, Dave.
And then Minix replied, thanks, Dave. Hi, Dave. Appreciate the feedback. I just finished editing a video of me creating a natural aquarium. I'll post a link to it here in the comments once I publish it. I mainly wanted to explain how this hobby is accessible to everyone, and that the closer you get to how a natural system actually works, the healthier your aquarium will be, as well as lowering maintenance. Cheers.
Yeah. I think it's a pending comment in the queue at the moment, so it will appear later on today, but not there now.
Yeah, I found this really fascinating too. I've never, really had an interest in having an aquarium, and the closest I've had is like having a betta fish in a little bowl for about a year. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea of like the natural aquarium, particularly the part about, if you can get it balanced, then you don't really have to do anything except add a little more water to it every now and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really the thing, isn't it? Because it also... you need a really good understanding of what's going on in that body of water, and what the all the various organisms in there are doing and stuff. So it's quite, you have to have a fairly good insight. It certainly builds your understanding of the world and the environment at large, I think, by doing that type of thing. So I listened to this show and thought I should really do this, but I don't know. But I'd have the time to do the looking after. But anyway, it would be fun to do.
I really like the idea. I would like to have something similar for an outdoor pool. We're looking up in an outdoor pool in our outdoor pond. So that would be awesome if somebody has experience of that as well.
The idea would be the same. The biggest is runoff and rain, changing the balance of things.
Exactly. I've been dipping my toe, boom, into the topic a little bit. But if people have suggestions, then I would love to hear it, sort of, because we're being asked to provide more locations for rainwater, and there's a requirement on each of the councils. This is a problem when you live under sea level. There's a requirement on each of the councils to be able to absorb a quantity of either spill-off water from the rivers for a period of time and stuff. So that may be passed on to the homeowners at some point.
Hmm.
Plus, it's a good thing for the ecology in your neighbourhood. Mm-hmm. They say putting in a pond is one of the best things you can do for wildlife. Anyway, comments on previous shows, Dave. There was a comment on 3434, which you all remember as From 0 to 8 in 30 Minutes by Klaatu, building a cluster And that was where Klaatu, that's where Klaatu built a Kubernetes cluster run on a website and route website to traffic. So basically, good show. One which I'm also using as well. Note to self, Dave. We should also have on the comments page, and also you, Ron, I guess, underneath that, we should have a summary of the show as well that would help when we're giving feedback.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. So you're reading this comment and you forget what it was about.
Yeah, exactly.
Having to jump back to see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually, that's your script, Dave.
It is my script that have created this wondrous thing that nobody sees but us, unless they're that interested. But yeah, it's not going to be trivial though, because we don't have summaries of shows. There are no summaries. So how would you make them?
There is a summary of the show.
Well, there's a summary line, but is that not necessarily a summary of the show?
Yeah, well, that's usually, it should be a summary of the show.
Well, yeah, okay. If you just want the summary itself, as well as the title, that's
yes,
simple.
That's what I'd
that
like.
Is simple. That is simple. Yeah, yeah.
And you could throw the tags in as well, Dave, while you're at it. And also, my washing needs to be picked up at 4:30.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The janitor's life is a hard one.
Put down your brush, Dave. Okay, anyway, the comment, everybody is going, what are they on about? Build a cluster in Iraq. This is Mike Ray, who said, went back to this well-remembered show and used it to build an 8-node cluster of Pi-4Ss in a 4U rack. One controller, 7 nodes. Great show. Easy to follow. This I have done because I need to get gripped with OpenShift for work. End of comment. Excellent idea. Want to do exactly the same thing, although I don't know where Mike is getting 8 Raspberry Pi 4s at this point in time.
He knows a man who knows a man, obviously.
I was just thinking the same thing.
And Delta Ray's comment, bye.
So, Delta
Retro,
Ray's
actually.
Retro. Comment, Retro? Is that, Retro is commented on Noise Torch, the second choice. I was wondering why people who do podcasting buy sensitive condenser microphones. To understand, it is recommended to watch 5 seconds of this video. The microphone in action, when you spin it away from your mouth, and then it gives a link to a YouTube video. I used a microphone for Teams calls. Teams, I guess, has some noise canceling in the software as well. Well, I could hardly understand the person speaking to me because of the lawnmower outside my window. The mower was not heard by the other person. What's the difference between dynamic and condenser microphones? And then he gives another link to a page. And this is for a comment on HPR 3751.
That's great. Actually, having processed that comment, I was intrigued by the subject and went hunting for alternative. I've got a condenser mic here. And I had to turn my washing machine off, otherwise you wouldn't hear me. And also the fan heater that came on at 5 o'clock. I can see having a dynamic microphone would be preferable, and I shall look into buying one at some stage. Interesting pointers there. Thank you. So shall I do the next one? Yes.
Please, yeah.
Show 3761 HPR Community News for December 2022 is commented on by Kevin O'Brien, who says, Travel Journals. He says, I know this is late, but I was traveling when it came out, and I'm just catching up now. Dave made a comment that it sounded like I was reading from a journal when he commented on my show about Southern Arizona. Indeed, that's been my practice going back to a trip to San Francisco in 1979, where I got engaged to my lovely wife. I think it's well worth the effort to keep your memories alive. Now that I'm getting up in years, I've decided that I don't need more stuff. I just want more memories. So I keep a journal on all of my trips, and I plan to keep doing it.
Wow, that's a T-shirt.
That's great. Absolutely.
I don't need more stuff. I just want more memories. Awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yes, I had assumed that he was doing that. I have done that myself in the past for some holidays, some long journeys I've taken, but I've never known quite what to do with the journals at the end of it, so they're just sort of in a drawer somewhere. But yeah, I should maybe take a leaf out of Ahuka's book here and turn them into something, type them up at very least.
So we're skipping over the green one. Obsolete audio device rules by John Culp in relation to Archer 72's show about retro karaoke machines restored. John says, "What a beautiful machine. So glad you got it working and recorded an episode about it. Love it. Now, if you could only source some vintage karaoke tapes in both formats and sing along for a demonstration."
I second that opinion.
Yep, I'm sure Archer 72 is just waiting for that call.
So I can take this last one. So for episode 3802, Attack of the Squishmallows by Ron, we have a comment from Kevin O'Brien. "Impressive undertaking. I'm very impressed with this. You should definitely feel a sense of accomplishment." I did, and it was definitely appreciated in the family, that's for sure.
Yeah, very good.
I did not know what a squishmallow was and went down a rabbit hole finding out about it.
Apparently they all have names, too.
Of course they do. And they're all collectibles, etc., etc. Anyway, that was it for the shows. We're already an hour in, and hour and 12. So there were questions on the feed, or on the mail list, which is where the community, the parliament of HPR, you might say. And Mark Rice had a question about the future feed. And for those who don't know, the future feed is, we have the regular feed, which releases just shows every day, Monday to Friday, and will only release shows that have come out that day, whereas the future feed extends into all the shows in the future, or at least 10 of them. And if you listen to that, you can do some air quotes proofreading, proof listening onto the shows that are upcoming. And Mark says, "Hi Ken, this is probably a me problem, but when I play future shows from the RSS feed, they sound like my Bluetooth earbuds are being hit by static. This is not so when I follow the link to archive.org and download the MP3 or the Opus file. Like I mentioned, this is probably an isolated problem. Regardless, would it be possible to add the MP3 feed to future shows?" And do you want to do Jason Dodd's one, Dave?
Yes, Jason says, "For what it's worth, I've been using the future feed for at least a year and I've had no issues with sound quality."
And Ron?
Then, was this?
Oh, it's Dave. Let Dave do his own.
Do you want
Dave? I'm having problems.
Or you can do Dave's in the Scottish accent. I listen to the future feed.
I'm hitting all the wrong links to get to I'm doing the previous message by thread rather than the next message by thread. Not very bright today, I'm afraid. Anyway, yes, I said hi. I also listen to the future feed. I find it's the best way to make sure that I've listened to all the shows in the month before the community news recording, ! I'm using antenna pod and all sounds just fine to me. I would have thought that something like the following URL would get you future shows in MP3 format, but it seems to start at the newest show and work backwards, so you have to know how many to ask for. And I give him the way that you can do the fancy link, the fancy queries through the HPR's RSS.php thingy.
Stuff.
Yeah. And I say, "It just so happens that there are 21 future shows at the moment. If you leave off the limit parameter, you get 10 counting backwards from the highest number. Using the future feed, you get all 21 automatically, but they are OG." Smiley face.
But that wasn't his question. And I have had this issue as well and continue to have it. So I will investigate it. I've just sent a note to myself to do more investigation on this. Anyone else has got a problem like this, also please contact us. Thank you. Then I sent out the following email, which is, Hi all, it's my pleasure to announce that Rowan has been recommended by the janitors to join their team. He has shown a long-term dedication to the project. I'm happy to report that he has been approved by the hosting team. We believe that he is sufficiently trusted by the community to take up the official mop of office. But if anyone has any objections, speak now or forever hold your peace. And I give some links there. So on the show, if you're listening to this, Rowan is... Say hi, Rowan.
Hello, hello.
And then we will pass, if nobody has any objection, then the official mop of office will be mailed to him an overnight express.
I will look forward to receiving it.
So, shall we do some of the responses?
Sure, I can take the next one. From Mark Rice responded, congratulations, Rowan.
And... Claudio.
Claudio Miranda says, congratulations, Rowan. Definitely in support of him joining the HPR janitors.
DNT says, great news. Thanks, Rowan. And Robert says, I tried to put this in the comment system, but it wouldn't take it. All you need, looks like you need a learning script. Download all MP3s if you want. This is related to HPR episode 3783. Comment 3, and he has a bash script for downloading all the episodes, which was actually a batch script for downloading all, or is it a bash script? Hold on, let me check. It's a bash script for downloading all the episodes, and it is grepping a PHP file or a XML file. That is never a good thing to do.
Yep. Need a new line in there and you're stuffed.
And I replied, what error did you get uploading to the comments feed?
And then the Necrocore response.
Mechatronic.
Or is that Mechatronic? Ah, it is Mechatronic. Okay.
Same guy.
Yep. Let's see. Too hard. Just kidding. Thanks. I thought curl did downloads. Not that I've ever used it beyond copying it into the terminal from instructions. I never liked the looks of it. It is an aesthetically off-putting command. Curl. Yuck. Makes me want to hurl. And almost as gross as GNOME with that giant foot on it, foot as a logo. What were they thinking? I never heard of the area to see command. That one looks nice. I assume the script downloads all 36 gigs worth of shows. What is the index of a file in that context?
Well, on the summary, on the... Get Shows page in the advanced, there is a list of how you can download all the shows and using curl commands and wget commands. So, addition of Roan to the janitorial staff by some guy on the internet. Hello, everyone. This sounds like a great idea. Congratulations, Roan. When can you come over and fix my backup script? I'm joking. Thank you for offering your time and energy towards bettering our community. And then the last one was Dave and the community news.
Mm-hmm. Which we won't read.
Well, it'll be a bit pointless. And also...
very, very
long. We're here! Too late, suckers! But we should say that the community news is open to anybody. It's recorded on this Saturday... before the first Monday of the month, which is a really weird way of saying it. And I noticed you had updated in there that it can randomly change because sometimes I forget or we have audio issues. Yeah, but mostly yeah. I forget, let's face it. And then, if we know you're around, we can email you as well. But it's also nice if you have listened to all the shows in the previous month before joining. That kind of helps. Or at least read the transcript. Upcoming, there's a link in there to upcoming shows. Not a lot from the LWN community calendar if you want to see what's happening next month. And we have some any other business.
We do. And this is really your news, Ken. The play button. Go for it.
So, speaking of the future feed, I was listening to a show where some guy on the internet at the end of the show asked his guest Bumblebee what she thought of the HBR website, and one of the comments was that she couldn't find the play button, and because it's at the bottom. and it should be at the top, which of course it should be. So we put it at the top. So we fixed the problem even before she mentioned it. Isn't that great?
That's amazing.
It'll be like magic.
Exactly. And I opened up my first pull request ever to your static site, Roan. So
yes, well done. Thank you. I've accepted your change, and it is now merged in. So they should be showing up, if not by Monday at the latest, those changes. And that's actually inspired me to fix a couple other things on the static site that I hadn't gotten to yet.
Yeah, there's so the static site, now that you're on, I'm going to wait for comments to the show, and then I'm going to put update the shared password file that we have to all the various different accounts and stuff, send that out to you, as well as putting your keys up onto the server, and making an account here on various different bits and bob places that we have around. One of the main things that I'd like to get done ASAP is getting the static site being automatically generated to the development website that, or subdomain. Didn't I create that?
I think you did, though I don't
know.
Yeah,
I created that. And then what I want to do is that when we're finished, either when we have done a comment or whether we have done posted a show or finished posting our shows, that we can go, okay, trigger a refresh of the site.
Yep, that sounds
so
good.
I'm waiting. So that'd be cool. But that's on the to-do list. Okay.
I do have, so I did come up with my own little
go for it.
Sort of summary of where things were from the last time we mentioned the static site. So there have been a number of, like, you know, fixes and updates to get it closer to parity with the current PHP site. Our big news is we now have two official contributors, code-wise, other than myself. We have Gordon's and we have Ken Fallon, who have now both contributed Ooh. And had their code merged in. So I'm very happy about that. I'm, like I said, we're happy to take anyone's either, like, you know, file an issue if, you know, you find something on the static site, which I think if you go to hobbypublicradio.com, is that an org?
That's all of them, yeah.
Yep, and or the hpr.horning.us. Those are the current ones that are statically generated. Norris, I think he's running his on a regular basis too. You can find all the warts, help us find all the warts. That would be great. If you want to, you know, delve your hand into fixing stuff, that'd be great also. So to that, and actually reply to Norris, his show, in I did update the site generator, so you can now actually pass it a location of a configuration file, so it doesn't have to be in the same directory that you ran the code from. And within the configuration file, there's now actually a way to tell it where to look for templates and where to actually output the HTML. So you don't have to, he could probably update his the configuration file and then just have the files generated directly to the correct output directory instead of having to do a move afterwards. So thank you for those inspirations. And thanks to Gordon's, the static sites, the images are now lazy loaded, using the browser's lazy loading attribute on an IMG. I think that's a relatively recent HTML5 attribute. So basically, they don't all automatically download. The browser sort of says, oh, I'm about to come up on an image, let me pre-download it. So that will hopefully save people some bandwidth and some, like, loading time when they're browsing on either a slow network or a small form factor device.
Yeah, seems like a good idea, actually.
And that's all I have for updates to the site generator and the static website.
Cool. Now, I have a question about non-English shows. During the as part of the Free Culture Podcast, what we say, and we have, what I said to people was, join Free Culture Podcast and we can put your show out on Hacker Public Radio, a sample episode, because they're come to the trouble of doing Creative Commons and we can spread the love. So the question is, should we post non-English shows? And I know we've discussed this before and people have said, yeah, the occasional show seems to be fine. So there's a French one coming out and Whisper, which is an excellent tool which we can use for transcribing, has the ability that you can translate to English from a given language. So I was able to point Whisper, our transcoding tool, to the French podcast that I'm talking about, and it was able to generate text-to-speech translations in English and in French, but in English, which, when you're playing the episode out, if you have the subtitle file, it will put the translations onto the web page for you, into your player as you're going along, which I think is just absolutely awesome. So with that, what you could do is you could create a text-to-speech show. So we could release the show with an introduction from me. There'll be an introduction from me anyway about the show. And then just play the show in French, unedited, as the host wanted it. We could also play the show, and then after the show, we could do a text-to-speech of the translated speech-to-text. So you would have the original French show, and then at the end, you would have the text-to-speech eSpeak narrating the show for you. We could just post the text-to-speech show, which I think is my least favorite option. Or, get this, right? In the left channel, you hear the original show, and in the right channel, you hear the text-to-speech in English. So, what do you think?
I think the third option leads to madness. I don't know. I'm almost more for, we should maybe have there's sort of like the as-is version, as in you give your introduction, we do the show, but we have the option then to listen to, you know, the version, you know, an English version that's gone through, you know, speech to text with translation and then back again. I don't know.
That's could have it linked on the website and then, yeah, put that in.
Yeah, just have that as an option on the website as a link.
And also the transcription.
And then the transcriptions. Yeah, both.
You can also download,
yeah. Provide both, yeah, like cool. English and, yeah, French.
Good, good. Dave, what do you think?
I was just pondering this one. The thing that bothers me slowly, apart from the left and right channels, because I'm more deaf in one ear than the other, so I'd have to turn my headphones around the other way. The second one, intro, the show, then text-to-speech translation. The text-to-speech is wonderful, but gets so much wrong if you actually read the text. So if you then turn that into speech, how much of it would you understand? I think that to me looks like a good way to go, but not as part of the thing you download.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Something to pick up separately, and then, you know, you might, it might be better than I think that it will be, but I would be more inclined to see how we go with the text to speech for a while, and then if everybody says yeah that would be fine, I'd be happy with that, then, you know, you can offer that as one of the options, maybe after the show or standalone.
So feeling here is, well, from the Polish one was the fourth option, where you actually hear the original soundtrack and then the translations are done like Whisper over your shoulder type thing. So that's how they do all the translation. All they don't do subtitling. They do dubbing. It's not really dubbing. There's a special name for it, where it's like having your uncle talk over your shoulder as the movie is playing. It's very, very distracting, but they seem to get used to it. So yes, that's our opinion. What do you think? Comments to this episode, please.
Nice subject to be thinking about, though. I never thought we'd reach this state of things in my lifetime. So, yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff. Anyone got anything else?
Nope. I think we're good.
Okay, with that, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.